Today is what we call in the church Resurrection Sunday. And it's the day where the church celebrates more than any other day. Why? Because there was a time where Jesus was nailed to a cross, placed in a tomb, and it looked like everything was over, but it's never over until God says it's over. And after 3 days, as Jesus said he would, he was raised again. And the reason we celebrate, I want to just speak about a few reasons before I really get to the point tonight. But I just want to speak about what resurrection means, why resurrection is significant, why resurrection, we celebrate it today. And one of the things that I just got revelation of today, I hadn't seen it before, is that many people have got their opinions about what is the real God, what is the real truth. Is it Buddha? Is it Muhammad? Is it one of the 1,000 Hindu gods? But I want to tell you how God vindicates things and how God has the final say. There was a time in the Old Testament where many people had an opinion about who should lead and who should be this and who should be that, walking through the wilderness. And God wanted to establish who his real servants were. And the way he did it, everybody had a rod. There was 12 rods. And they put the rods before the tabernacle. And overnight, one rod, it grew, it budded. And it grew leaves. And it grew almonds. And people said, God has vindicated Aaron. Because that rod was resurrected. And resurrection was God's final say. And the fact that Jesus rose again is God saying, finally, there is one truth, there is one Son, there is one person I've manifested myself in, and it is Jesus Christ. The resurrection is significant also. We celebrate it because in the garden, when God created humankind, there was no death. Death was not God's idea. But when Satan tempted man and man sinned, death came in. And the scriptures say the wages or the consequences of sin is death. But Jesus Christ came for a purpose to destroy the power of death for those who believe. And the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the right or right with God. And he was sinless. He never sinned. And when he went to the cross, he went to the cross deliberately as an offering to sin to destroy the power of death. And it's like this. I like to think of it like this. It's like Satan and death had a scare to every single person in history who died. As soon as they died, Satan went to the grave and he would scare them. And he would say, yes, they sinned, therefore death and I will take them. But this is what happened. When Christ died, Satan went out with his scanner and death went out with their scanners. And they scanned. And they scanned. And they scanned. And the sinless Son of God jumped out of the grave and destroyed death. And Satan himself. That's why we celebrate. The sinless Son of God has defeated death. We celebrate that resurrection. Yes, it's the final say of God. Resurrection means that you don't have to die because someone died for you in your place for your sin. The miracles we've seen God do is that the scriptures say the same power The same power, after 3 days Jesus was in the tomb, he'd been nailed, his body was helpless, he was in a dark place and in a tomb, and there was no human hope until the power of God entered that tomb and raised him again. Now, as exciting as that is, what is more exciting is the scriptures say that same power that raised him from the dead is available to all who believe. And Easter is about a lot of things. One of the things Easter is about Christ being nailed to the cross. It's about nails. And Christ was nailed. That means he was mistreated terribly. And some people here, you've been mistreated. You've been abused in ways that you can't even tell anyone, secretly abused. You've been, yeah, you got your own nails. And Christ was nailed. He was mistreated. And then he was put in a tomb. And tombs are dark places. Tombs are a place of darkness. And some people here, you may be living in a place of darkness, of despair, a depression or addiction. But the beauty of the Easter story is Christ didn't end there. And your story doesn't have to end there, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to all who believe. And I read the passage there now because it was a situation where Satan had done his worst, like Satan has done his worst against some of us. And Satan had, the Bible says he steals, kills, and destroys, and he'd stolen this man's life before his time. And before Jesus came, before God offered works, he left it 4 days, because people believe you could be raised after three, but on 4 days it was hopeless. And before God works, he always, or he mostly leaves it till all human resources are exhausted. So when he works, he gets the glory. Somebody here tonight, all your resources are exhausted, but you will see the power of God tonight if you believe. And so here was this man. Satan had stolen his life. He'd done his worst. He's done his worst. And everyone was saying, it's over. But as I said, even if you've been nailed, even if you've been mistreated, even if you're in a dark place, it's never over until God says it's over. And the power of God came into that tomb. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus released into Lazarus's life. And what the devil was doing was completely destroyed, and Lazarus came forth out of death. You've been nailed, you've been mistreated, you're in a dark place. How will you get the power of God into your life to completely change it? The same power that raised Lazarus from death to life. Some of us, we're living a living death. How can that same power come in and redeem your abuse, redeem your despair, redeem the nails, the mistreatment you've had? How can God's power come in and change everything that you can't change? I want to tell you, there's a power of God that can change what the doctor can't change. There's a power of God, a supernatural power, that can change what the therapist can't change. There's a power of God that can change what 20 years of abuse can't change. And I believe, I know, I've seen that power at work with my own eyes. I was in a meeting just like this once in a place called Cairo in Egypt. These people, they came into this room, and my wife was with me, and she's my witness. And they had, just like in the scriptures, the place was packed. It was jam-packed because I'd been labeled a heretic, and that always generates interest. And they brought this girl into this room, and she'd never walked. She was 2 years old, and she was in a white dress. And in a meeting just like this, as we preached the word, and I said at the end of the meeting, I said, in the name of Jesus, you will walk. And in front of my eyes, she got up and she walked out of that room. And I have her photo. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, you can't tell me it's not available today. But I want to tell you what will release it to you, and what the resurrection power of God is for. This is what the resurrection power of Jesus is for. Jesus comes to Lazarus and he is dead. He is dead. And there's a picture for all of us. Everybody outside of Christ, you are dead in your sins. And the scriptures say that you need, unless you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. And when Jesus calls Lazarus to come forward, the very moment he becomes obedient to the voice of Christ, he is born again and he comes in a new life. And the power of God, the first thing it wants to do in your life is to make you born again. And even if you've been in church all your life, don't assume you've been born again. I went to a Billy Graham crusade. I went forward, but I was not born again. I was sitting in a hotel room once in America, full of sin, full of guilt, full of shame. And I just cried out to God. I want to tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit came into that room. And I left that room totally different. I left that room with a new life. The Bible says through Christ that you are a new creation. The Holy Spirit came and filled me with a peace and a joy I never had. And I jumped out of that room and I said, I don't know what's happened. But I've been born again. So that's what Christ wants to do for you. That's what his power will do for you. So Lazarus, who was in a grave, was born again to new life when he became obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. But when he came out of the grave, it says that he was still bound in grave clothes. And Jesus had to, he said, loose him from the grave clothes, because you can be born again and still be covered in grave clothes. What are the grave clothes? The grave clothes are the things that are associated with death. They are guilt. They are shame. They are ongoing grief that God doesn't want you to have. Self-pity, all these thoughts, all these characteristics, addictions, which are associated with death. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ comes into your life. You're not only born again, but you are set free. You are liberated. Things break off your life. He liberates. He came to set the captives free. Those depressions, those despairs, those shame and those guilt is stripped off your life. And you say, I'm a child of God and I'm loved of God. The third thing that is in the passage was that there was a stone, both in this passage and in the resurrection passage of Jesus. Stones, which are 2 tons big, no man could move, are there. But when Christ was the resurrection, heaven rolled the stone away, supernaturally rolled the stone away. And that stone represents impossibilities. Things that you just cannot do. Things that you just cannot shift off your life. It may be a busted marriage. It may be a child that just is rebelling against God and calls you, and you can't get it back. There are things that you cannot do. You cannot move. But when the power of God comes in your life, stones start to roll away. Doors start to open. Things start to shift that you can't shift yourself. The same power. I tell you what, there's tonight, God's saying to me, there will be stones rolled away from people. Stones of addiction. Stones of disease. Even stones of cancer, he will roll away. But you know what the condition was? Before Jesus, he came. Not only did he raise Lazarus, he wanted to make this point. Not only did he raise himself from the dead, many times in the scriptures, he raised people from the dead. There was a man who was a leader of the synagogue called Jairus. His daughter was sick and he died. And when Jesus touched her, she revived. There was another lady in Nain, a widow of Nain. Her son died. She lost a husband, then a son died. And Jesus came to the coffin and touched it, and the son revived. Jesus was making a point in all this, that he not only was the one who experienced resurrection, but he is the resurrection and the life. He is resurrection and life. And when he came to the Mary and Martha, whose brother was dead, and they needed a miracle, before he released his power, he asked some questions, and they are key questions. He said, I'm going to do this. You need to believe. That's the condition. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the scriptures say, is available to those who believe. What do you need to believe? I tell you what you need to believe. Jesus said, he was egocentric, not egotistical, egocentric. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. It's in me. I don't tell you like Buddha. I won't enlighten you. I am the light of the world, which destroys darkness. And here he said, I am the resurrection and the life to everything that is dead, ailing, and dying. This is what you've got to believe. What you've got to believe is this. It's like he said, I am the resurrection. I am the source of all resurrection. I am the source of the power of God, which is raises things to new life. I am the source of God's power. And it's like every great river has many streams, but only one source. And there are many religions in the world today, but there's only one source of resurrection power. Do you know why? Because the thing which causes death is sin, and only Jesus Christ has dealt with the problem of sin at the cross. That's why he is the source of resurrection power. He is the source. The power flows from him and him alone, not from the doctor, not from the therapist. It is from Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You'll get your breakthrough. But what they didn't believe was that Jesus would affect their present day condition with his power, because when he went to the tomb, they said, Jesus said, I want to roll the stone away. They said, don't bother. He's been dead 4 days. There's a stench, Jesus. Because Mary and Martha are like a lot of present day believers. They had a yesterday faith that Jesus was the Messiah that was to be sent, and they had a tomorrow faith that when they died, Jesus would raise them again. But they didn't have a today faith that the power of Jesus would affect their present circumstances, their present conditions. They had a future faith, but they had no today, now faith. And what is needed for the power of God to flow in your life is to recognize that Jesus is the source, and he is the source for your problem today. The Bible says now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of resurrection. Now is the day of salvation. And the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven has advanced since John the Baptist, and violent men lay hold of it. There's a today faith that God wants you to come into. There's a faith in Jesus Christ that his power is for your problem now. He's already been wounded for your healing now. That you don't have to wait for tomorrow. You don't have to wait for next year. But you have to go home and lay hold of what he's already purchased for you now. Because everything has been done. There's nothing to wait for. The last words that Jesus said on the cross was, it is finished. It is finished. And we need to believe. As the Bible says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available now to all who believe. And I know tonight, God quickened this scripture to me and said, there are people here coming to this meeting tonight. You've been nailed. You've been mistreated. It doesn't end there. Doesn't end there. It's not over because of the power of God. Other people, you're in a very dark place, in tombs. The tomb was not the tomb was only temporary for Jesus, and it'll be only temporary for you. As I said last night, when we believe in Jesus, he makes our tomb into a testimony according to the power of God. All you need, God is impartial. God is alive. He is working the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what we need is to recognize who he is. Who Jesus is. You know what the Bible says he is? He is the power of God unto salvation. He is the source of the one who threw planets into the cosmos. He is the one who the whole world was created through. He is the one who spoke and the world was. He is the power of God become flesh. And he is all you need. He is all you need. All you need is to believe. All you need is to believe. He is the source of God's power. There is no other source of God. All you need is to put all your hope in him, all your belief in it. I want to tell you that the power of God will flow. The power of God will bring you out of every tomb. The power of God will move in ways where you think your situation is over. And God's grace and his power and his mercy will come into it, and it will not be over.